Welcome back to Tivating Patiently, the appreciation podcast that highlights, dives deeper, and celebrates the work and accomplishments of our Tony-winning national treasure, Aaron Tveit. I'm Elizabeth, and last week was a big week for Tveit fans. It has been rumored for years that Chess the Musical would be coming back to Broadway, and it had been rumored for months now that Aaron was going to be attached to this revival of the show. And lots of videos have been circulating on TikTok about when the show would be announced and when it would start on Broadway and which theater the show would be in, etc. And while we didn't get all of the answers, the official announcement that the show is returning to Broadway in fall of 2025 dropped last Wednesday. And Aaron, he will be playing the character of Freddie Trumper and will star alongside Lea Michele and Nicholas Christopher. And now we are all on high alert for when more news will drop regarding tickets and additional cast and theater announcements. And full disclosure, I am not very familiar with Chess and the music, but over the last week I have been listening to the Chess concert album and watching the concert starring Idina Menzel, Adam Pascal, and Josh Groban, and I keep imagining Aaron singing the Freddie songs, and he's going to nail this role, which of course he is, but it's going to be incredible to see him taking on something new. But in other news, the 78th Annual Tony Awards are this coming Sunday, and between Cynthia Erivo hosting, the original cast of Hamilton performing, and all of the nominees, this is gearing up to be one exciting evening. So for this week's episode, I wanted to reshare a past episode about Aaron and him winning his first Tony Award in 2021. And his speech, it still brings tears to my eyes whenever I listen to it. And Aaron has described winning his Tony Award as finally feeling seen by his community and this community that he's always wanted to be a part of. So enjoy this episode and Aaron's special words as he talks about this memorable Tony win. Aaron's Tony win was nothing short of epic. His first nomination, being the only nominee in his category, going through the pandemic and the Broadway shutdown as a nominee, not knowing when it would all open back up, and then when Broadway did reopen, Moulin Rouge's reopening night and the Tonys fell on the same weekend. So let's just take a little stroll and relive it all. When the Tony nominations first came out, the world and Broadway were shut down. Aaron, however, was in Vancouver filming season one of Schmigadoon, and he shared in an interview with Paul Wontorek that he was off that day from filming, and since the nominations came out, he was just getting flooded with messages from friends and family and peers. Yet the world remained shut down for months after the nominations. Then, in multiple interviews about his Tony nomination and afterwards with his Tony win, Aaron had shared that it kind of worked out for the best that the show's reopening and the Tonys fell on the same weekend, because the rehearsals and the time focused on the cast and the show gave Aaron an opportunity to divert his energy and nerves and instead focus on the show and getting that back and up and running.
Yes, it's all happening at the same time, yes.
You guys are up for 14 awards. Yes. You're up for lead actor. You're the only one nominated.
I am.
That's an interesting situation, isn't it?
It is, yeah. It's a very unique situation, but I've just tried to think of it as what it is, and it's so meaningful to me, and this is the first time I've been nominated in my career, and I'm just so grateful for the recognition and that our show has gotten so much notice.
I mean, the Tonys usually give Broadway a pretty big boost,
don't they?
And you probably never needed that more than ever, right?
Totally. I think, you know, the Tonys hopefully are the best commercial for Broadway ever, and I think this year more than ever we need that, so I hope that they're just a wonderful celebration and can welcome everyone back.
And Aaron was in such a unique position as a first-time Tony nominee, being the only nominee in his category for Best Actor. He was acutely aware that being the only nominee was not a guaranteed win. Aaron shared that he had multiple conversations with people who acted like he'd already won, and he had to balance those conversations and the excitement of it all with staying grounded, because only nominee or not, he still had to win over the voters, and he shared more about this in an interview with NBC News Now.
I have to ask, with your category, which you know some people don't know, you have to get 60% of the vote.
Yes, that's right.
There's still a part of you that's a little nervous?
No, of course. You know, everyone's been wonderfully gracious in saying early congratulations, and I truly appreciate it. But again, it's like, yes, there's been a vote, and I have to get 60%. But I've also said that's only a D, right? I basically only need a D, so hopefully that works out. But no, it's wonderful.
You'll have that speech ready.
Yeah, exactly.
60% of the voters needed to vote yes. And I love how Aaron compares that number to a grade in school, saying he only needs to get a D. He is an A plus 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 actor. A D should be no problem. And Aaron's look for the Tonys is one of my favorites. Like his whole outfit, everything. His long hair era is probably... Actually, it's absolutely my favorite hair era. His white suit, while it was simple, just being plain white, Aaron stood out against that red Tony Wall background, and Erica with him in her white silver dress, they complemented each other so well and, of course, looked stunning. And Aaron shared on the Drama podcast with Dylan and Connor that he was, quote, sweating it out for what was going to happen at the Tonys up until the presenters, Courtney and Bebe, started joking around about the unique situation of being the only nominee.
It was so clear to you how much that meant to you, to be seen.
Yeah. Well, I think in, you know, my speech, which was just like, I don't even know what I said or what came out.
It was great.
It's kind of what I'm saying, though, is that I wanted to somehow acknowledge, you know, all these people that got me to that point, right? It's like talking about Next to Normal and Catching Decan and the casting directors at the time. And like those people took such a chance on me when they had no reason to. And that all of that was the reason that I ended up on stage that night, right? And so I just, you know, I'd never had a chance to thank anyone before. So I was like, I'm thanking everybody because this is that important to me. So yeah, it was amazing. But really, I was sweating it out. I did not know what was going to happen. I didn't know if I was going to, up until Courtney Vance and BB started joking about it in their intro, that I did not relax till that moment. Cause I was like, oh, they're not going to joke about it and then open the envelope and say, no one. Right. And I've worked with both of them, which was also very special for me as I know them both. And, yeah, so it was, but really I was sweating it out until they started joking about it.
And I was gagged that you thanked your girlfriend because you can be private about those things sometimes.
Yes.
Yeah. So that was exciting. And everyone loves her as well.
Yeah. She's great. She's awesome. And yeah, I mean, listen, I it's a fine line, right? I have a love hate relationship with all the public aspects of social media and all of that. So it's, you're just trying to walk that line, but no, it was just, I wanted to also acknowledge her because yeah, she really has put up with me and all of that specifically. So
I've said this before, but one of my most favorite traits about Aaron is how quick he is to acknowledge all of the people in his life who help make his career and what he loves to do possible. Yes, his name is on the Tony Award, but Aaron recognized that the journey to getting to that point was bigger than him, and he demonstrated and acknowledged that in his speech. Even just watching back the videos from the Tony Awards, you can see Aaron sweating it out in his seat. He just looks so nervous and the emotions are running so high for him, as they should be. He worked so hard to get to this point, and here he was coming off the unique situation of the shutdown, the unique situation of being the only nominee, still having to get 60% of the Tony votes, saying yes that he should win. What a release that must have been for him to hear his name. I debated about including just Aaron's speech in this podcast, but wanted to include the presenters talking about the situation as well, because Aaron acknowledged how their speeches helped him to relax. And then his speech, I still cannot listen to without getting chills and feeling all the emotions.
For the first time in an acting category, there's only one nominee for Best Performance by an actor in a leading role in a musical.
But there are rules, and the rules state that such category shall be submitted to the Tony voters.
And that the award goes to us. No, no.
Okay, which sorry. May, the Tony voters, which may, by the affirmative vote of 60% of the total ballots cast, grant an award.
The nominee. Is Aaron Tveit, Moulin Rouge, the musical.
And the Tony Award goes to, we really need a drum roll.
Aaron Tveit!
Aaron Tveit made his Broadway debut 15 years ago in Hairspray. This is his first Tony nomination and win.
Oh, man. Thank you. First of all, thank you to the American Theater Wing and the Broadway League of Producers, all the nominees, all the voters, nominators and the voters. First, I need to say thank you to, and a happy birthday, actually, to my manager of 16 years, Ellen Flack. To my parents, who hopefully will see this at home, and my brother John for always encouraging my dreams. Erica, for your love and support and for putting up with me. To my friends who have come to see me in every show I've ever done anywhere. The most wonderful group of agents, Peter, Joe, Andrea, Kevin, Scott, Barry, Michael Auerbach, Chelsea and Anique. To our amazing creative team at Moulin Rouge, Alex, Sonia, John, Justin, Carmen, Bill, Aaron, our producers and designers, you all have all inspired me for 4 years, our entire company at Moulin Rouge, every brilliant artist that's been a part of the show for the last 4 years, Baz for this story, everyone at the Hirschfeld, our amazing crew, my dresser, Scotty, special shout-out to Peter Hylinski and our sound mixer, Diggs, who somehow allows me to sing that score every night, our band, our COVID team. I need to give a special thanks to friends of mine, Bob Krakow and Joan Lader, who have kept me on stage, and a group of people who... Sorry. That's crazy. A group of people who many years ago took a chance on me, Bernie Telsey, Jack O'Brien, Michael Greif, Mark Shaman, and Scott Rittman, Tom Kitt and Brian Yorkey, the late Margot Lyon, the late Terrence McNally, David Stone. We are so privileged. We are so privileged to get to do this, to be on Broadway, to have a life in the theater. Let us continue to strive to tell the stories that represent the many and not the few, by the many and not the few, for the many and not the few, because what we do changes people's lives. It changes people's minds. It changes people's hearts. We can change the world with this. Let's not forget that. This means more to me than I can ever say. Thank you very much.
I mean, even just listening to that back now, I have all the feels. This Tony win was so much more than an award to Aaron. He has shared how it made him finally feel seen in the Broadway community. All of his years of work, dedication, grit led to this moment, and now, until the end of time, we can always preface Aaron's name with Tony Award winner. And that just sounds right. Just recently, Aaron spoke with Gold Derby for an interview about Schmigadoon Season 2, and he was asked about his speech and what he meant by, quote, continue to strive to tell the stories that represent the many and not the few, by the many and not the few, for the many and not the few, end quote. And his response to that is just so powerful and so applicable to so many aspects of today's world.
It was a very special moment, and it felt to me like I've always just wanted to be a part of the Broadway community. You know, I think of myself 20 years ago, kind of studying theater in college, and I just wanted to get to do this, right? I just love to do this, and I wanted to be a part of it. And so to kind of be at that moment, something that I truly never dreamed of, was just so overwhelming. And it made me think of all the people that took chances on me throughout my, you know, my career that I never would have been there. And, you know, I've been really, really fortunate. And yes, I've worked hard, but I've also had a lot of doors that were open to me that, you know, I think
maybe aren't open to everyone. And so that's a problem still in our industry. And so I think that as you go on, it's your job to stand up for what I think theater and is at its core, right? I mean, we all got into the theater. Everybody that started to do theater, whenever it was, I think, was looking for some tribe and looking for some place that they could feel accepted and seen and not judged. And it didn't matter, you know, your sexual orientation or the color of your skin or anything about, you know, your gender identification. None of that mattered, right? It was just you were finding some place that you felt safe. And I think that, you know, the business of theater doesn't or hasn't always matched up to those ideals necessarily. And so I just think that it's our job to strive to have the business of theater reflect what all of us got into this initially for. And I think that's, you know, coming out of the pandemic, you know, we all had there was this amazing cultural awakening of these things. And I think that, you know, when anything happens, it's very easy to fall back into patterns. And I just think that, yes, that was a moment that Broadway was reopening, but I just think that we all needed to take a breath and really remember all the things all the amazing things that came out of that stoppage. So I think that's, you know, that some version of that is, you know, that's a very unelegant way to explain it, but I think that's what I meant. And that's what I think it's our job as theater makers and people that get to do a lot of shows just to always be aware of and strive for.
Aaron talks about how everyone just is really looking for their tribe, their community, a place to belong. And Aaron has created that space for so many of us who follow him, his career, Broadway. I don't think he realizes or will ever truly realize the profound effect that he has had on so many aspects of our lives. For me personally, he has provided such a solid role model for my kids to look up to. The way he conducts himself, things he says, how he treats others, they're all traits that I hope to instill in my children. And Aaron has played a role in that because they get to see it play out in videos, etc. Aaron and his work have connected me with this little Tveit corner of the internet, and through that I have been able to develop some of the most authentic, meaningful friendships I've ever had. He's given us a common interest and passion to connect to and be a part of. Like, I could go on and on, but the bottom line is that Aaron, who he is, what he does, he's changed our world, and we won't ever forget that. Thank you so much for listening today and continuing to support this podcast. Hopefully, there's a chance that we will get to see our Tony-winning national treasure on Sunday. Kind of have a feeling he may be maybe presenting an award with Leah and Nick now that Chess has been announced, just to kind of celebrate that revival coming back to Broadway. But who knows? He loves to keep us on our toes and is always full of surprises. So let's see what he may have in store on Sunday. Just, I can't wait for the awards in general. Like, it's going to be such a fun night of theater and recognition and just celebrating all of the work of this incredible Tony season. But if you are not doing so already, please follow along on Instagram at @tveiting_patiently and over on TikTok at @tveitingpatiently, and hope to have you back here for episode 123.